This is Preston, and we're back for the fourth and final installment to the Dear Summer podcast. I just want to take a moment and thank you all for tuning in. Tonight, we have myself, Marcus, Sarai, Jordan, James, and Kim. The first scene we'll be reading tonight is titled, We Need One More. And the characters involved are Jackie, Knight, Steve, Timmy, Dutch, Toot, Aaron, Jay, Lil Ant, Lord Neil, and Ted. Jackie gives Knight a pager to keep tabs on his whereabouts. Lord Nut and his Middle Hill crew make an unexpected visit to Parkwood.
Here, I wrote this for you so that I'll be able to get in touch with you when I need to. When I page 618, that means dispatch your curfew. When I page 911, that means stop whatever you're doing and come straight home. And when I page 310, that means I want to know where Deshaun is. Can you remember that?
Yep. What's the number to it?
Why do you want to know the number, Knight?
So I can give it out to my honeys.
See, that's your problem now. Worrying about these fast-ass little girls out here. Just like your damn father. Let me think about it. But for now, I'm the only one that has the number.
Jackie makes her way out of Knight's room and then doubles back.
Oh, and one more thing. It's not a toy. Don't let anyone hold it and do not lose it.
Okay.
Cut to Knight, Steve, Timmy, Toot, Jay, Dutch, Aaron playing a game of soundbar. Toot pauses the game once he gets a page.
I gotta go and hit this cell. Find somebody to take my spot. Aaron, you stand down here?
Yeah.
Right up there with me and Jay.
That line should be Jay right up there with me.
Hey, Knight, don't let nothing happen to my guard brother, yo.
Alright.
Y'all lucky I got a bounce. We was about to get with y'all. Aaron, come up Binky house when you're done busting these niggas' ass.
Hey, yo, where that strong-faced nigga been at anyway?
Man, they put my man on a home monitor from that night down 32nd Street.
T-Rock and Jay leave together. In passing, Toot takes a glance at Marco walking in the opposite direction. Knight jogs over to Marco.
Hey, Marco, you trying to play real quick? We just need one more.
I can't. I'm about to go somewhere with my mother.
She's not even home yet.
She is.
Yo, how? Her car is not out there.
Fuck him, man. Just thought I'd 50. That nigga is sorry anyway.
Marco walks away and looks back as he gets a little further down the block. Knight and his friends start another game. Shortly after, Knight gets an unexpected visit from Lil Ant and two of his accomplices.
My nigga Knight, what's up, Sean?
Lil Knight walks over to give Knight that.
What's up, man? What you doing around here?
I just moved back from McEwen. I ain't think nobody from this side still live around here.
The ink sets in on Aaron.
Man, Manny's still on the block. And Margo.
What up, Dutch? You bluffing ass boy.
Yo, the only nigga in life that was born with a gold tooth. You still short as shit.
My man Knight got his own crew now. I see you, Shorty.
Knight looks over his shoulder to his friends.
What's been up with you, though? I see you still hooping.
I mean, that's about it, for real. There's nothing else to do around here.
Where your little brother at?
Somewhere around here.
That little nigga been bad since I don't know when. I remember one day he was riding around down Old York on his power wheel with no shirt on. He had to be like 5 or 6. Cars was beeping the horn at him. He still ain't get out of the street.
Yeah, that's still him. Except now you on a fucking bike.
Hey, shit changed, huh?
Not really. What's been up with you?
Shit, I be down the hill hustling for my peoples, stacking bread, riding dirt bikes. I'm trying to hurry and get my permit so I can buy a whip now. Other than that, I just be chilling, trying to stay out of trouble like you. I don't get nobody away until you get in mine, you feel me?
Knight nods his head in respect.
Man, where the girls at?
That didn't change either. It's still a desert around here.
Lord Nut looks to Knight's friends.
That's the only thing I hate about living around here. It's a motherfucking sausage fest, boy. No neighborhood, you know what I mean? I don't know how y'all do it, Sean.
You either take the risk of going out of bounds, or you bring him around here.
You still mess with Shorty that live on Chestnut? What's her name again?
Nikki?
Yeah, Nikki. I remember that one night we was outside playing ITS. Yeah, Nikki. I remember one night we was outside playing It. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm running up the alley to hide, and I see Knight and Shorty pants rubbing hard as shit. Yo, it was like...
Flashback scene. Knight has his back against the wall while Nikki gyrates on him.
That was your girl for a little minute.
Yeah, but then she started smoking fugs and drinking 40s and started to fight me, so I had to dump her.
You don't fuck with them hood joints, huh?
Knight shakes his head no.
Oh, Tyron, you from the Jacks, though.
Same thing I be telling.
Let me get on this game. What y'all playing, 50 or 21?
Loat calls for the basketball from Aaron.
50.
You still got hit the middle of the sign for it to count.
Yep.
Shit ain't really changed. We might as well start 3-on-3. Y'all need one more, right?
Hold up. Our game ain't over yet.
Oh, my fault, homeboy. Who the eyes?
Me.
How much you got?
50 and ice, nigga.
Oh, all right. I ain't no rush anyway.
Lil Ant sits his beeper and gun on the curb and spectates. He then signals Lord Neil and Lord Tate to join him. Aaron sees it and tries to walk off from the game, but Lil Ant catches him before he leaves. Hey, Knight, I'm about to dip, yo.
You not playing?
Out of nowhere, Lil Ant, Tay, and Neil attack Aaron and punch him relentlessly. Knight looks on in complete shock.
Middle Hill, bitch! Tell your man I'm looking for him.
Cut to...
Yo, what the fuck happened?
Now, I don't know. Everything was cool and out of nowhere. They start banking him. I was going to break it up, but...
But what? What?
Man, what I'm supposed to do?
You don't want to get banked. Clown-ass nigga, man. You told them we was around here.
Hell, I don't know what I look like.
So who was it then? It was you? It was you?
Timmy doesn't reply.
Dutch, you ain't that fucking stupid. Who was it? Niggas crack slick when I ain't around, and now y'all want to play dumb? All right. Nobody better be out here when I come back. I swear to God.
Knight knows who said something.
Knight looks at Dutch in disbelief. Toot looks at Knight with fury.
Hey, yo, Knight.
Toot pushes Knight in the chest and the two square up.
I'm not scared of you, Toot. I'm not the rest of these niggas around here.
It was Marco. It had to be. He was the only other nigga out here.
Who the fuck is Marco?
He lives down the street. You walked right by him when you left.
The light-skinned nigga?
Yeah.
He be with Middle Hill.
Marco chose who he wanted to roll with, and that was that.
If you ain't had nothing to do with it, like you said, then come around there with us.
Lines were drawn that I never wanted to cross. Not out of fear, but more out of protection. I didn't want anyone I knew to get hurt. This is the moment when I started to feel scared in my own neighborhood. Scared of what was going to happen next year.
Just
we
next.
Weren't just kids having fun and playing games anymore. It was more like our egos transformed overnight. What would have been brushed off a year ago was now a matter of seeking defeat. And what made it even more ill is that I didn't know who was to me anymore. Everyone met up.
That should be I didn't know who was who to me anymore.
Shit, I'm little. I need something to fight with.
An unarmed and undersized Knight heads home to retrieve protection. Knight! Knight stops in his tracks and quickly turns around. The knife came from your house. It touched your hands. It touched your mother's hands. Think about what you're about to do.
This is the part about violence that I will never understand. With it, there's always a chance to let it go.
Knight ignores Mr. Smitty's warning and joins the squad. His hand trembles while holding the knife.
What, you scared, nigga? Give it to me. I got it.
Cut to the climax. Deliver the news.
Toot assembles a squad of 10 kids from inside the neighborhood to avenge his godbrother's pummeling. Night out to prove to the neighborhood that he too is tough. Joins the mission. In slight formation, the up top boys and Night march around the middle hill. Toot is only on the lookout for Little Ant, while the rest can settle the debt with anyone. They did not have to scour for long because the trouble was standing directly on the corner. The generals, Binky and Lord Neil, are the first to engage. Binky's first punch misses Lord Neil's chin. He follows up with a series of haymakers, but Lord Neil ducks, dodges, and avoids. Binky finally connects with one, and Lord Neil stumbles and drops one hand to the ground to break his fall. Toot surveys the field for Little Ant, but he's nowhere in sight. Now they've joined one another in a game of cat and mouse. Little Ant's absence leaves Toot even more infuriated with his rival, so he sucker punches another one of the culprits. Up top is outnumbered by Middle Hill 2-1, but it's clear they are the strongest squad. Tay and three of his friends surround Toot in the middle of the street. Toot lunges at him like a lion surrounded by a pack of hyenas. Night locks eyes with Toot and reaches for the knife tucked in his waistband of his jeans. As he reaches for the knife, he gets a page. The digits are 911. I could have been a totally different nigga. Now Night is an unimaginable dilemma. Which code to honor? Before Night can make a choice, Binky squats down and picks up a newspaper stand planted in front of the corner store. One of the Middle Hill boys broke the cardinal rule of street fighting to never fall on the ground. What happens next is both astonishing and chilling. Stink picks the stand just above his chest and slams it on the kid's back.
He picked up a newspaper
stand. To deliver the final news, Toot jumps from about 5 feet away and lands on the stand. The kid's eyes roll in the back of his head and foam outlines his mouth. His limbs are not moving. Night takes one last look at the kid before fleeing and quickly recognizes the kid. Night mutters, "Marco." I had the knife, but what actually happened is I went to go to where everything was going to pop off, and my neighbor saw me, yelled, and all that stuff, and like, had me come back in the house. But I ended up back outside, and that's when the dude got the newspaper stand thrown on him.
Yeah.
He jumped on top of him.
He was in, ended up being in a wheelchair.
For the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. Off that shit.
Yo, you know how heavy them fucking newspaper stands twins is? That shit all metal. Nigga pick that joint up, boom, drop it on his neck. Jump on top of it like fucking sky zone.
Damn.
God damn. So y'all paralyzed.
Like. Sky zone.
I ain't paralyzed, nigga. Yo, what?
I'm at a smooth criminal.
One of the niggas I was with got caught, the nigga slipping. They put that bitch up.
The one nigga pulled
he ain't scream or nothing. He was done. As soon as they put that bitch on, he ain't nothing.
That nigga left him alone.
Nah, he was kicking him and all that shit.
Damn.
Yeah, I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Until I seen him fucking, you know what I'm saying? I like, damn, I thought you didn't make it, boy.
you seen him in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm. That shit fucked me up. I couldn't even. I was just standing there. I ain't, you know, just like you think a fucking fight. Like, that shit, then they go to that.
They go to that? Yeah, it was damn.
Yeah, shit got real quick.
Hell yeah. Yo, nigga got paralyzed. And you never seen, like, that shit weird to see somebody. It's different to see somebody die than somebody get paralyzed. Somebody get paralyzed, they literally stop moving like that. And they fucking, that shit just weird.
Yeah.
The fact that I seen that shit was just, it's astonishing to me.
So what y'all think about that? Like, was it like, you know, I guess riveting enough? Like, was y'all like into it, or was it just like reading through it? Because that's supposed to be like the beginning to the climax, or like the climax. I guess the beginning of it.
It was a solid build-up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always room for a little bit more filler, but...
Yeah, but I got some scenes that I haven't added to it yet that back this one up. But I thought this would be the one that would kind of, like, start everything.
Yeah. I mean, it painted a few pictures, though.
Like, it's vivid. Especially with the violence. I can like play it in my mind of how it happened. Like somebody picking up a fucking newspaper stand.
Yeah. Like to this day, when I just see it in fucking newspaper, I just be like, y'all, that shit just give me.
So multiple niggas. So they had them on the ground.
So we got down the street, like, you know, everybody's fighting shit. So we was like the smaller niggas. Exactly. We kind of fell back once the shit got ill. So we kind of fell back.
What? She my wife. Was no, she said we the same person.
Why wouldn't you get me a root beer?
So he was fighting.
Yeah, he felt. I don't know if nigga knocked him out or what. But I just remember he was on the
ground. how many niggas take a pair of newspapers stand?
Two.
And threw him on his neck.
Oh, like on his. He was like. He was kind of on the side, but when it hit him, he like turned. He was kind of on his side on his shoulder, and he threw that bitch, and he like turned over. Then he just jumped. He was already on his back. He was really on his fucking face. Dang.
You spoke to nigga. I mean, when you seen him, like, he was like, "Yo,
bless you."
Dang.
Nah, I ain't say shit else to him. What the fuck I'm gonna say?
I mean, you took me in a wheelchair. You just like, dang.
I walked every way.
Like, oh shit.
Nigga say he walked every way.
The fuck you gonna say to a nigga? You know what I'm saying? My bad. You know what I mean?
Like, keep it moving. Shit got out of hand. Yeah, right. Nigga, I got out of hand. Yeah. Dude, bro,
that's so funny. Yeah. Need some air? Like, what the fuck you want me to do? Need some air. Yeah, that's right. I ain't know what to say to it. I mean, the nigga whole life changed.
Instantly. Yeah. So that was Mania that was going.
I mean, there's a couple. It was like the names. I mean, I don't think the names not really bad. It was a couple niggas that was. I used to like. It was. We wasn't. It wasn't like we hung. We hung together, but it was like we was the young niggas. Mm-hmm. So it was like we kind of followed along what they was doing until it. Like, that shit started happening, and I was kind of like, I'm not with none of this shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Damn. That's crazy.
All right, so we're going to transition into the second scene for the night, which is going to be our final one. It's the title scene, Dear Summer. Fade in, exterior, interior, Dutch's house, night. Characters, Steve, Knight, Dutch, Timmy, Manny, Toot, Binky, Jay, Simone, and Tiffany. Notes, the music playlist, if it's your birthday, watch out for the big girl, pull your guns out, shorty you fat.
Dutch's mother went out of town with our boyfriend. Our birthdays were in the same month, so we decided this would be a perfect chance to one big party. It wasn't your typical cake and ice cream party. This was club music, freak dancing, hood party. It was so packed inside that some people made their way to the porch, and from the porch to the sidewalk, and from the sidewalk to the street. How did we get all these people to come? Well, we told the boys that only girls were going to be there, and told the girls that boys they'd never seen were going to be there. Then we hope they all show up.
Dutch and Knight stand out front of his house and survey the people steadily walking up. The music is blaring from inside.
It's only 9:00. Yo, I ain't mean for it to come out like that the other day. You know I don't be thinking sometimes.
Sometimes?
You good now?
Knight nods his head yes. Steve and Timmy walk up from behind Knight and act like they are robbing him with an air gun to his back.
Kick that shit out, nigga.
Yo, your little stern ass couldn't even get that shit out.
Come on, yo. Happy birthday, my nigga.
Happy birthday, shorty. What you like, 16 now?
14.
Dutch, you broke the whole hood out, shorty.
Everybody's going to different schools and shit this year. This is our last party.
Manny sneaks up from behind Knight and disguises his voice. You that clown-ass nigga, Knight?
What? Yo, when you get back?
Just now. I knocked on your door, but your mother said you must have snuck out. Oh. And she said for me to tell you that I hope it was worth it.
Man, I ain't gotta go back in the house. She just gonna have to come looking for me. It's my birthday.
Yo, that she go right there.
Knight clenches his body, refusing to turn around and look.
Psych.
In excitement, Steve swings Knight around by the shoulders so he can see Tiffany and Simone walking up to the party.
There goes your girl, Knight. And mine.
Who?
Yeah, who?
Tiffany and Simone. Tiffany, mine.
You mess with Simone? Simone?
Kinda.
Two Simone?
How long y'all been messing with each other?
Since the summer.
Before or after the party?
After.
Dutch struggles to hold back his laughter.
Yeah, who stole Two's girl?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, all right. Try telling that to that nigga.
Dutch, you acting like Knight is scared of Two or something. Knight, you ain't scared of him, is you?
Yeah, okay. Wait until he finds out.
Tiffany, Simone, and Tiffany's cousins, Leah, all walk up.
Why are y'all standing out here?
We was waiting for y'all to get here.
I wasn't.
Dutch mugs Simone and walks away.
It's your mother's fault. You are light-skinned. Don't take it out on us.
Birthday boy!
Knight blushes.
What's up, Tiff?
That's the only person you see?
What's up?
Hi, Jordan.
Knight and Simone lock eyes with one another.
She called him another nigga's name.
That's his middle name.
What took y'all so long?
You said 9. It's 9:23.
I left my watch in the house.
Did you give me something for my birthday?
Yeah.
What?
Wait and see. Y'all nasty. Girl, get your mind out of the gutter.
She can't.
Knight and Simone share a laugh.
Don't get slapped, all right?
Tiffany looks to man.
What's your name again?
Manny.
Yeah, that's right, Manny. This is my little cousin, Leah. You know, the one you never called. She's shy, too.
Tiffany nudges Leah towards Manny.
Now, everybody gets somebody to freak with the whole night.
Leah looks at Steve with disfavor.
Freak ball.
They all make their way inside the house.
You gonna try your arm again tonight?
Chill, yo.
It's your birthday.
The kids are enjoying the party. Laughter, slapping high fives, dance circles, freak dancing. The lights are dim low, slow dancing. They sing happy birthday tonight at the end, the Stevie Wonder version. Simone whispers in Knight's ear and then escorts him upstairs to one of the bedrooms. She closes the door behind the both of them.
I didn't want anyone to see what I bought you or for anyone to make fun of you.
Simone turns her back to Knight and reaches inside of her purse. She pulls out a book.
It's hard out here for a nerd, but it's like the best book ever. You'll love it. I couldn't put it down.
Dear Summer? What is it about?
I'm not going to tell you. That takes the whole fun out of reading it.
You want to know something?
What?
I thought you were bringing me up here for something else.
Like what?
You know.
I don't.
Knight makes a facial expression and suggests naughty behavior.
To do the do.
Ew, no. Why would you think that?
Because that's what they do in the movies. The dude takes the girl upstairs, or the girl takes the dude upstairs. They lock the door. They sit on the bed. It gets weird for a couple of seconds. And then they start kissing.
Jordan, this is not a movie. And the people in those movies are way older than us. Like grown-ass people. You probably still sleep in the room with your little brother. Boy, bye.
I moved up. Can I ask you something else then?
I don't know now.
Simone folds her arms.
Why do you keep calling by my middle name? Everybody calls me Knight.
Because I'm not everybody.
True. Thanks. I wasn't expecting this at all.
Knight flips through a few pages in the book.
I see. Come on before somebody thinks we're doing the do.
Simone pecks Knight on the lips and they both leave out of the room. They notice Toot and the rest of his crew sitting at the bottom of the stairs. Knight escorts Simone down the stairs and slithers past Toot, making eye contact. Binky says something in Toot's ear and makes a move towards Knight. Toot stops Binky by putting a hand to his chest and they both leave the party. Steve walks up to Knight and asks him a question. Knight shakes his head yes. The party continues. Notes, music playing. Miss Tony, put your guns up. And I'm about to play Put Your Guns Up.
Point your guns out. 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 Point your guns out.
Yeah. Y'all know who this is. This is Tony B. We got a new thing going on, y'all. It's called Pull Your Guns Out. You don't need a real gun. Just come to the club. Shake your hands in the air like a gun. And we're gonna drop it like this.
Party ends at midnight, and everyone is making their way outside. Knight walks out cautiously to make sure no one is waiting for him. He wraps his arm around Simone's shoulder and walks her to the corner of the street.
So do we go together now?
You tell me.
We do.
So how do we do this? I live over west, you live over east. We're going to two completely different schools. I'm going to Western, you're going to Dunbar.
I talk on the phone every night. My mom is about to get another line. She's tired of me not clicking over. And I can ask Manny for his bus ticket since his school is around the corner. That way I can meet you on the bus stop some days. And then on the weekends I'll use my allowance so we can go to the harbor, to the mall, or to the movies.
How long have you had this planned out?
Since that night at 32nd Street.
I can tell.
Tiffany's mom pulls up and honks the horn for the girls.
Come on, Mom. That's my mother.
I'm coming. I'll call you later, boyfriend.
Simone, Tiffany, and Leah walk away to the car giggling. Simone looks back at Knight and smiles before opening the back door. Fade out, end scene. So, just want to say thank God for participating and volunteering your time. It means a lot. I appreciate it. I think it sounds good reading it. So I'm gonna put the finishing touches on this joint.
Going to LA
and start shopping it around. but yeah, man, I appreciate it. Like, this man, means a lot to me.
Spread the word, man. Probably can we get some more people to listen? Hey, or all contribute to like word of mouth.
Cool social media and all that stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. The more exposure, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it would be like something for, you know, people to connect to. Like, it don't even have to be from here to actually, like, you know, relate to it. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. But yeah, like, if you can just put the word out, share it, however you see fit. I encourage you all to do that. Any thoughts? Wrap up, you know? Anything y'all want to add or share? No?
I just say I think that you put a, or you can tell that you put a lot of hard work and dedication into it. You know, I can tell from, you know, the details and, you know, how it's written that, you know, it means a lot to you. So I'm just happy that I could be a part of it myself.
Thank you, sir. And Jordan just brought the 1800
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he did.
With the shot.
Shots.
Shots. Still reckless. I see an 1800, huh?
It don't look like it might be chilled, too.
Nah, it's a little leaky.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. But you know, I did drama in high school.
So really?
I started to come back.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I
asked the nigga to play.
Yeah, I did drama.
That's like, that's what this coming is for. With it. Like, you know, this can spark something in any one of us. You know what I mean? Like, I know Kim's getting, like, really into it. Yeah. And Sarai mentioned that she wanted to write a book. I never really heard her say anything about it before this. What is called? Niecy's Novel. That's funny as shit. That's fucking funny.
I'll take it.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Last one.
I need something to rinse it down.
Oh, straight up.
I'm gonna need that tea, bro. I don't drink light.
That's my tea.
Yeah.
Don't you mean the gesture?
So we about to take shots 1800, celebrate. Wow. Final installment to the podcast series.
Well, I thank you for, you know, letting me be a part of it, because I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I'm able to be my favorite.
Thanks for coming out and being dedicated. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You ain't going?
I ain't going.
Cool.
I mean, y'all had some dark liquor or something. I
could have
done a little. No dark. You don't want to take mine. I didn't
know I had a choice. She's staying beside.
All right, so the discussion question that I'm going to pose is, do you believe the notion of behind every great man is a strong woman? It doesn't really have anything to do with what we read regarding the scenes, but I thought it was something that could, you know, spark a good convo. So, my opinion is, I believe in that notion. I think that's like what's kind of wrong with, I don't want to say our society, but I guess I'll just speak to the black community.
Community.
Like, I feel like we don't have, like, those historical figures that we had in the past, such as Dr. King, Malcolm X, you know, those kind of guys, like, humanitarians and activists.
I don't know. And then, I mean, are there any guys that's trying to be a Barack Obama or Martin Luther King? I think that being supportive is one thing, but with our generation, it's like, yeah, I'm like his damn bitch or whatever. But it's a thin line between how foolish you're going to be, how much you're going to take, and whether he respects you versus him not respecting you and, you know, walking over top of you. So,
yeah, I think the problem is with society is that everybody's following everything that they see.
Yeah, trends.
So, like, the trends. Like, for example, thought. You need to get rid of that word, because it isn't going to be no regular woman without that word. You know, the word's not there anymore, then, you know, thought is like that hole over there. So why everybody's referred to as a thought?
Yeah.
As long as that word's going to stay around, it's never going to change. Nothing's going to change. That's what I think.
But it's like, what was the word before thought?
I never really understood why we had to, me personally, I always felt like that term was associated with black women, because it just adds to another negative connotation that we have to use towards our women. So I'm like, why are people like thought drinks and all that? So, well, why we gotta add to an already fucking a negative perception for our women anyway. But I guess to answer the question originally, behind every great man, there is a woman. I'm not necessarily going to say it has to be his woman, i.e. a relationship of, you know, husband and wife or girlfriend or what have you. But there is a influence of some sort that comes with any strong individual, any strong man. And it is needed. Sometimes it's a subtle presence that just kind of grounds any man that's ambitious
or going forward in life, and he needs that kind of that motherly or that womanly presence to kind of smooth things over, because especially with black women, black men, we kind of have a lot to, and it sounds cliche, but we kind of have a lot to go through each day to kind of navigate through all of the normal things that go throughout just being a black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, people forget that before he became president, he was still a black man. So I'm pretty sure that Barack Obama had to go through the...
his plight was the same as
equal to any of us. So it's like he was probably fucking racially profiled. Mm-hmm. And the same thing that we go through. So that's equal across the board. So to him to get to that point, you know, it's... there's no way that you can do it alone. And you've seen that with, like, how he would talk about his grandmother and his mother and now his wife, you know, who are kind of, like, the foundation for that other side of his life that he had to fight through, you know, which seemed like on his own, but he always had that influence with him. It sucks as, you know, we currently in Black History Month, and he was, you know, PJ was saying we, you know, Malcolm X, Dr. King, and then Barack, but it's like they died
right a long 40 time years ago, right? You
know what I'm saying? And they were young.
Yeah, so it's a huge gap.
Yeah, in between them. Right. So that's what I wanted to like discuss. Like, so you know what has been happening since those two have been gone. You know what I mean? Like up until 6 years ago, like we didn't have anyone. You know what I mean?
You don't got the true civil rights leaders anymore.
Yeah,
you got like the phony ass Jesse Jackson and Fume and the NAACP. They don't really do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they not as their presence not like a king or what.
The structure of things made us believe that we didn't need them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of what allowed us to, you know, kind of progress is the little bit of unity we have as a race with our arts and the things that we share amongst ourselves. Like, I feel like people don't give enough credit to the culture of, like, the urban culture that's kind of literally taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is heavily influenced by our, you know, by black people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's something that, you know, is not mentioned in the right context for people to really get to understand the fact that quote-unquote black culture, urban culture has, quote-unquote, for lack of, like, if you look at it from a larger perspective, it's taken over the entire world.
The town of America, yeah. And like, the world, yeah. for that.
But that's an influence that is, I don't think it's necessary, I don't think it's brought to a head properly that we can kind of take ownership of it and in a respectful way. Because, like, when you see it on CNN or something, they, like, talking, they bashing it, or picking out the fact, calling like somebody like Common a thug, or, you know what I mean? All of these, you know, kind of picking at it instead of understanding, like, wait a second, this shit, the hip-hop and neo-soul and R&B, all these different things, like, athletics, like, we kind of took over the world culturally.
For sure.
But it's never really expressed that way, so you kind of won't get the just due for it. Mm-hmm. So instead of having those leaders, we kind of
filled it in
with the culture, and it's been still heavily influenced to this day. It's nothing like hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing is more powerful than it to me personally. But it's, you know, instead of having Malcolm and Dr. King and Barack, we kind of like filled that gap in between. And I think that's the coolest thing about being black now. But it's not talked about the right way.
And with our generation, I mean, we are the microwave generation. Like, people fail to realize everything that Martin Luther King and Malcolm X went through, like, they opened a lot of doors for us, but it didn't happen overnight. And, I mean, you know, we might have a few protests or whatever, but it's like, all right, now what? Let's move on. So, nothing is going to happen if you just feel like, oh, let me just protest a little bit. Or let me go on Instagram and rant and rave and, like, yeah, fuck the police or whatever. And that's that. Like, you just keep it moving. Like, so I feel that that's also what's holding us back from having, you know, leaders, because people don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I think, like, maybe one thing that is not being, I guess, acknowledged is that maybe, like, people are just scared. Like, they shot Dr. King in a fucking suit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear people, you know, that may be older than us. Oh, you gotta pull your pants up. You gotta dress like this. You gotta look like that. Like, they shot that man in broad daylight. You know what I'm saying? Like, with a fucking suit and tie on.
But, I mean, that's at least here.
And Malcolm X got killed by his own people. So, like, I mean.
But, I mean, that's something to people, think about, we too. Getting killed by our own people. By our own people now. It's not. I mean, it'll be. If to me, I would want to die for something I believe in versus. No? What you want to get shot over? Some money?
I'm going to die, period.
Well, we all going to die. We all leaving. Point blank, period. Whether you going to get shot.
I mean, I don't think I get
shot. Whatever, but they didn't have that mentality. And Selma, which I don't know who saw it, but Coretta told him, like, your life is at risk. We're at risk. And he already knew what he was up against. And he still was like, okay. Like, you don't go wake up every day because this could be our last night talking. Somebody might not wake up tomorrow. Anything could happen, God forbid. But once we leave, like, you don't wake up saying, like, oh, well, this is going to be my last day. Like, if you believe in something, you go ahead and you fight for it. Point blank, period. Like, die over something like that versus somebody shooting you for a pair of shoes or over a chick or over some money or something. Just anything stupid. And I just think that that's the mentality. Like we'll die over just stupid things. Like, over something that would affect versus something that would help everybody as a whole. So, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think courage is running a little low.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's the most important
thing. I don't think it's courage, because you got a lot of courageous people out here. It's like, what for, and where do you stop? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, where do I start? Like, you got from Malcolm X to I mean, not Malcolm X, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, what they stood for, to your point, now we're killing each other over shoes. So where did that disconnect come from from that time to now?
It's coming back now because we got Barack from Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. We had a huge gap.
Man, Barack ain't evangelizing nothing like that.
He is the person that people look to.
Yeah.
He's the person that we look to.
He is the hope, though.
Yeah, he's the hope.
He the hope that he could be a black president, but...
No, not even just to be a black president, that somebody can actually... do something more than, you know, just graduate from high school. It ain't even about just being a president. He's the successful black person that everybody look up to right now.
But
he don't speak on things that are important, people say stuff.
But the thing
is, when he spoke about everybody, you know, having the advantage of, you know, going to school 2 extra years for free after high school.
That was coming to America anyway. Cause
if he wasn't in office,
The Chatham people are ahead of us in education. They know if we don't step it up, they going...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I look at that as something that he did for black people. You know what I'm saying? Because black people go to community college. White people don't go to community college.
But when he didn't go to Ferguson, that was the problem, too.
I ain't see no problem with that.
No, that shit was too volatile.
It was a problem for people. That's what I'm saying. So if you're going
to... So people who don't fucking...
Blacks.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying it was a problem. But
he should have been there.
If you
represent us though,
right?
No, he represents the country.
But no, he represents the country. But at the end of the day,
ain't doing that shit.
I look at him to represent me first before he represent the country. He black.
Yeah, I feel you. But that,
if you go talk to him, he gonna say I'm black.
He's identified as
black. My thing is, you gotta understand the position that he's in. If he goes to Ferguson, then he has to go to
everywhere.
Fucking
right. Oakland.
He didn't go to fucking, where was this shit when they killed all the kids in Massachusetts? Whatever.
The white kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, elementary school.
Those kids got slaughtered.
This is bigger than that, though.
What you mean? Killing kids?
Yeah,
that wasn't a bigger situation.
Your
son and day can't go shoot the day.
No, he should have been wherever he needed to be. That's what I'm saying. With Ferguson, it took us back to.
It did.
It took us back to.
It was a racism thing.
That's not his.
But we talking about civil rights leaders, right?
Yeah, we talking.
But y'all just saying who filled the gap, and Barack was that person.
He didn't fill the gap.
But we mentioned it.
We said the culture filled the gap. possible. We said
why was Barack?
Yo, when he got into office, everybody looked at it like we won.
Exactly.
As a black person,
exactly.
He won.
Exactly.
We ain't able to hear y'all screaming over each other.
The culture filled the gap.
But why was Barack mentioned? Forget the culture. We're not talking about the hip-hop culture. We're talking about black men getting the support and having those leaders. That's what we were just talking about.
It's absent.
Barack. But Barack was mentioned. So that's why Marcus is saying what he's saying.
Bro, you
so we mentioned the kids getting shot by another white man.
So where did that start? Kids going, you know, getting shot with tennis shoes and stuff.
You
I mean, no, they're like...
No, because he was saying we shooting each other, you know...
But I mean, I'm gonna ask you a question. To be clear, is
that, outside with all y'all. Let me just say that, but I understand where you're coming from.
Outside of what I feel like what happened was once the powers that be, and I'm never gonna not admit that it's for whatever reason, just someone who has say so over the things that happen in our country. I can't speak into Wales. Once they realized that we got past the point where we felt empowered and it was black, you know. Black power, and we were feeling enlightened as a people in after the civil rights and after all those leaders died. There was a value instilled from culturally from other, like in other shit that didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because now we were able to obtain things. So instead of valuing the struggle and the position, it was like, well, now shit, I'm in here.
I don't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
You got lazy.
Fuck the nigga next to me.
Right.
Fuck them. Like, like before, we came up together.
Yeah.
So it's like, once niggas got a piece of...
A little bit.
Right. We felt like, I don't need the nigga next to you. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... Then that don't have nothing to do with hip-hop. Like, that don't have nothing to do with the urban culture. That's some shit that was instilled in us for whatever... Well, not for whatever reason, to control that mindset, that fucking mind frame that... Where now that's all we worried about. Mm-hmm. That should have never changed.
And they ain't doing it for the right reason.
Well, I didn't say it's never gonna change, but we shall overcome. It was, I'ma get up.
Right.
I'm not fucking with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Let
me put it in perspective. How often do you look at the next nigga like, oh fuck him? You know what I mean? Like you ain't fucking with what he doing. Cause
yeah, we look to the sides instead of looking up.
Yeah.
That's because they crippled us and made us think that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's your point. It's been crippled from the beginning, yo. Remember when you talked about the first time? They just fucked the families up, fucked society up,
but that's what they want.
That's messed up.
They don't want you to be successful.
Exactly, and black people go right ahead and flow right with that mentality. Yeah.
Not everybody, because
not everybody, but some of them do.
Well, you're the 50% of that don't.
No,
a lot of people do, though.
Yeah,
It's a lot of us who won't lend a hand to another brother or another nigga.
Because you don't want nobody else to know better than you. It's more than you.
And that's the shit that is from where we came from. The fact that we were, let's put it in perspective. At one point, we were chained together.
Yep.
Right. So once we got out of the chain, we separated. So from then on, we're not together anymore. We were literally chained together. At one point when we got it. So we're not together anymore. That connection, that bond was broken from then on. And from that point on, it was a fucking progress, a slow progress where you continually separate these people who at one point were banding together physically, mentally, like dying on a ship, dying in the field, like all of that shit. So to the now point, you don't have no chains. So you got to find a way to manage these motherfuckers as best as you can. So you make them value not being together. You make them value obtaining shit that don't matter. Instead of, like, yo, the Jews literally build their own...
Everything.
Neighborhoods.
Right.
Their own lifestyle.
Right.
Unbeknownst to anything that's going on. You know what I'm saying?
They got helping hands.
That's because they not a threat. Who gives a threat?
They got fucking helping hands. That's not the point. They have a fucking value... To their brother.
Mm-hmm. If they was a threat to anything, the government would find a way to break all that.
So they run the fucking world.
Yeah, they run the world.
No, but what I'm saying is that if they became a threat, just like how you was talking about the movie Selma, like, all right, Martin Luther King and all the other civil rights leaders, you know what I mean, brung everybody together. So they gave us some success and some hope. So after the government or whoever gave us, you know what I mean, what we wanted, they killed the person that helped. you know what I mean, bring it together. So now we in disarray.
Yeah.
Whether they was white, right, black, right, red, green, yeah, they right, got killed.
Government gonna do whatever they
want. I don't agree with that. I think it's more so what Jordan said, like,
You don't think a threat got nothing to do with it?
No. Nah, like,
I don't think so.
I've been around Jewish people, like Jordan said, like, they really stick together.
Right,
you know,
but
like,
what, so you
foundation, hospitals,
but that
schools,
all, it all flows in together. Because the foundation is rocky, then we're not going to stick together.
Right.
So if they're already threatened by
trouble,
us, the foundation is already a mess, so it don't even matter.
Right, so be honest. The Holocaust and slavery is like half a dozen, six in one hand.
So they got reparations for that, though.
They did.
They got broke off, so they got put into a good position. If you got to think about those, they still had good values. I'm not saying Africa's value, whatever they had, wasn't bad, but
they didn't break the families up.
Right, they didn't break the families up. So they understand family. Like, my wife, she more about family than anything. We ain't got to take no trips. We ain't got to do shit. Just, if we all together, we all doing dinner, saying our prayers every night, she's like the happiest woman in the world. Like, that's all.
That's
she
exactly.
So for me, I'm like, all right, that makes
you
sense.
Situ moments.
And yeah. Yeah. Like experiences and shit. I mean,
yeah. That's, for real. Do I not always talk about that, PJ?
So that's, but to your point, it's just
do
the way
not?
We've been, that's why I sound like hip-hop. Like, they want to instill no family values. I mean, no music really does it anyway. If you always talk about relationships and whatever,
I mean,
and they talk about.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, of course, we deviate.
Man, hip-hop had a fucked up image. When we were growing up, there was no positive hip-hop. It was outside of Will Smith and, who else? Will Smith.
It don't have to have a positive message for it to be.
Everybody, I'm gonna say everybody trying to be like them. I mean, that influenced.
Yeah, hey,
whether you want to believe it or not, it did.
It definitely did.
It did.
Yeah, but I think I mean I don't. I guess I hold a lot of that shit true to my heart, so I can't really agree with you on
for
that.
For you, maybe it didn't, but overall.
So you telling me? Groups like De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest.
Well, they was the positive.
Yeah. But was like in the beginning. So,
like, were people listening to them?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Are they no? Like even now? I mean, yeah, definitely Tribe Called Quest. Whatever, they was definitely jamming. But even now, like, people don't want to hear what they that type of shit. You see what I'm saying? They don't.
They don't want to hear because they don't even know how to interpret that.
Exactly.
Shit.
Exactly.
They ain't interpret
exactly.
That shit.
Remember my friend? Like, to your point, they don't understand together.
No, you know what it is. Everybody wired in a way that if that shit come on, their whole program gonna get scrambled.
Yeah,
like what the fuck
are
y'all got me listening
about?
To right,
right
now?
Right,
turn that's
it off.
That shit. That shit like a foreign language. That's like a foreign language. But just like how that whole, how does something like a thought even, how does that shit start? Though? Where does that shit start?
From music.
No, what I'm saying, like who writes that shit on a piece of paper and filters that shit out though? Like where the fuck did that shit come from?
The producer.
It came from Chicago.
It came.
But the funny shit is that one day you wake up, somebody say that shit just take off. That shit is the new shit.
I don't use it.
It's something that's negative, and that's what people want latch on to. Something that's negative.
But the funny thing is, yo, you don't use it, yo, but you can find yourself saying that shit because that shit just like a rap song.
It's
somebody
like,
rapping the words you did so much, you gonna hear that shit.
I feel like,
yes.
I feel like the, like, me personally, not a hip hop head, but I love my music.
You love everything, yeah.
Because as the growth of like hip hop was like, I was young, so it was like, everybody was young. We grew up with it. It was something that was, like, keep in mind, like, the early 80s, this shit was just happening. Like, nigga, I literally fucking watched Straight Outta Compton premiere on TV when the niggas fucking running through the fucking, like, full speed ahead. You like, what the fuck is this?
But they weren't talking about family.
No. They was talking about what the fuck they was going
right.
to do, which I don't have a problem with. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that, like, if it's something that, a struggle that you're going through that kinda can get me the way I understand what, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with taking the best out of it and listening to it.
Yeah,
but everybody not like
it.
Right.
To you, it's
you
a story, but to most people,
it's
just live.
It's a lifestyle.
This the longest fad I ever been a part of in my whole life.
That's
this is a fucked up fad.
Yes.
You know, like, when is this shit gonna be over? Like, if you said that, you know what I mean? The dude on Tumblr said, well, it's gonna all tie back that we having sophisticated females and stuff like that. When is this shit gonna, when is that shit really gonna happen, though?
The men gotta be leaders of the household.
They gotta lead that positive influence,
I mean,
and I don't think that's
going to
happen
I've always felt I had this opinion since from when I used to read about the shit when I was as young and up until became a man. The greatest fucking move that they did was chess move was devaluing the black man. Yeah. Like doing that slavery shit, like taking it from his family, making him less than, you know, calling them big mandingo niggas, slapping him on the top of his head in front of his wife, his kids, his mother, his sister, all this shit. You devalue that one mother, like that one person who's the found, like James said, who's the foundation, the leader, all that shit. You don't have no, like you cut the head, the body won't fall. All
right.
The women can't carry that weight. You know what I'm saying? No offense to women, but women can't carry the weight a man can.
They can't.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but we living in such a fucked up society, yo. Like, this is just a crazy example. Like, you know what I mean? Females today, like, you can go, you know what I mean, open the door for a girl. And they'd be like, oh, he a clown. He opened the door. For, like, they don't even, they can't
you
even.
You shouldn't do that girl like that. Girl,
but you know what I'm saying? They can't even wrap their head around doing like.
I say clown, but it is like.
That's weird. It'd be weird, right?
Why is that weird, though?
Because they don't, it's not done.
Tell me, a girl tell me that, like, she ain't using nothing. And I'm going to treat her like she ain't using nothing.
It's not always done.
Yeah, but why would you treat her like she not
because she crazy, yo.
No, but you, it goes back to
that. That's not her fault. That's how she
not.
You think of how they want you to think.
No, yo.
Yeah.
No, yo. Yeah.
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
you hold that
just like something small and open the door. You saying, you know, let's go here versus going there. Like, oh, that nigga wanted to take me.
If she wasn't raised that way, then she wouldn't know.
Yeah, so why would you not be willing to say that?
I've had guys come to me and be like, who taught you how to be a lady? And I'd be like, what? And they'd be dead ass serious. Like, well, girls, I mess with, you know, they had terrible relations with their mother or whatever case was.
It all started from the family.
And I'd be like, what you talking about?
Everything starts from the family.
And that's why they mess their families up, yo.
Remember, I used to say that shit all the time. That was the key to the whole shit.
To get back to your point about devaluing the black man, does that fall on the man with being okay with that, or are you saying that the woman we don't value you because of what the?
Oh, I think
you think women don't value the black man.
Some women.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that.
And what about the women that value the black man? How do y'all treat them?
I mean, that we're not talking about that.
No, let's talk about it. Because ties into the woman being supportive. If I support you and I value you and you don't appreciate it, that's not my fault.
But you're doing that for, see, but you're looking for gratification and acceptance.
How?
Because you just said it. You're talking about I don't appreciate it. It shouldn't matter.
If I value you and you constantly brushing it off or you're being unappreciative, that does something to me emotionally.
Yeah.
So it's a cycle.
But you're looking at it from a personal perspective. Like,
no, it's not personal. I would do that too.
It's true.
I think
a lot of women go
because you, like if you don't see your father treat your mother like that when you grow up, you don't know how to really treat a woman versus. Like, my mother always tell me,
I agree with that. I didn't see my father treat my mother any kind.
But you still had a, right. You still had a good
respect for women.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking for the match. Like, sometimes, because you learn from your household and where you grew up in, or you just naturally got a good heart.
Prime example, when the last time we were talking, and Mark was saying how his father told him, and I was like, shit, I'm thinking about, what the fuck did my father tell me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not a lot.
Right.
If you know, like very rare, like up until recently as an adult, but as growing up as a man, it was like far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like my father never like showed us how to throw a football, basketball, none of that shit. Like you just what the fuck? I was watching Illmatic documentary, mm-hmm. whatever, and Nas' father was talking about he was on tour and he came back home. He's like, Nas and Jungle was outside. He was watching. He's like, I ain't seen him in like 3 years or however long it was. Yeah, he's like, it amazed him to see that, you know, they was like out on their own, just doing their thing. I was like, nigga, he was gone for a whole, you know, a long fucking time.
He was in London.
Yeah, like living, you know, right. Doing your thing. And what did you expect? Right. You know what I'm saying?
But back to my point.
Go ahead, get it out, babe.
Just like, when does that cycle break? Like, does a black man stop feeling like he's not important or...
I don't think all black men feel like that, though.
I'm saying for the ones that do, it's a lot of them that do.
You got to understand
You not.
Well, everybody not gonna understand. Everybody gonna
be recognized. My question, because I got the feeling that she wasn't trying to recognize what she was saying.
Yeah,
she
was this
like,
is
we
the,
not talk about this right now. It needs to be.
It ain't no joke.
But it's no joke. But I mean, you can find the laughter in it. But it's serious.
It's a lot of black men
that feel
that way.
Out here not recognizing that. Very same
they
thing.
And you can't even say that black women are supportive because, like they said on Tumblr, who the fuck was at all these marches and protests, like fighting for Trayvon Martin and you know, all these Eric Garner, all these men that have lost their lives, black women. So can you really say like it's us like all the time, like 110%?
No, I ain't saying it's a black woman. I think it boils back down to
the household,
the family.
Yeah, everything.
The family and your experiences. Because you get a little bit from your household, how you treat a woman or the way you were disciplined and what your grandparents taught you. If you grew up in church, grew up that way. And you always hear from me, it was always the man lead the household. You know, you got to lead your family in this type of way, that kind of way.
Absolutely.
So when you look at, I don't never let nobody, that's just me being confident. I ain't let nobody make me feel
undervalued. And you shouldn't.
You may hurt my feelings. I might think about something. I may have did something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I kind of messed up. But I never go into a situation like, I understand that I might be at disadvantage. I work that much harder to be at an advantage.
Yeah.
I understand that you probably don't think I'm smart. I'm talking about like,
mm-hmm.
they expect from black people. But I'm going to go in there with 10 times the confidence. And be confident, whatever I got to offer, and that's it. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Right.
And that's it. And I'm going to do what I got to do. But
it's just like, I'm saying, like, as a culture, we typically can use our past experience as a crutch instead of acknowledging that, this is the problem and let's do something to change it.
Absolutely.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. And then with the whole man being, the head of household.
When I say head of household, not just like on King March.
Oh, no,
I'm talking
I understand.
About being
a leader and
you know
an
how
example.
Barack Obama. So
right.
My pastor taught this, like how a man supposed to cover the household. And
yeah.
that's like raising your daughters the right way.
Yeah.
Teaching them about stuff, treating your wife right, what y'all want. Like nurturing and attention. And if I'm saying something, I need to pay attention to it. And that's a process growing up for me because my father was in and out. So I didn't really see all that stuff. So that's something you got to develop and learn.
Absolutely.
Me personally, but if you go over the household like that, it may be easier for you. But
and I mean,
it
also ties into women being, a little too independent. Because growing up, after my brother was killed, like a couple months after that, my mother and father separated. And I lived with my grandmother. So from about 10 until now, it was like my grandmother taught me everything you want, you go get it. Don't depend on anybody to do it. I'm sad. My father come and take me to a toy store. He ain't come. Like, all that just stopped. And as I became an adult, she just told me, you have to allow people to do for you. And you have to understand that when you're down, don't feel bad for needing help, because you can't do everything on your own.
Right.
So I didn't understand that. And I'm like, well, you told me to be independent. So that means I don't have to ask anybody for anything. And you see what I mean? Like, so me trying to meet somebody and grow. You say what?
I blame Destiny's Child.
Seriously.
Okay, hip hop.
But this
right.
is before my, grandma was waiting for Destiny's Child. But she had that mentality growing up. She had two failed marriages and it was like, look, I'm gonna just have to take care of my kids myself because he doesn't want to be here.
Well, I think as a kid, you needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody do nothing.
Right, but I didn't know how to turn it off as an adult.
Oh, okay.
And that was the problem. So I have to have conversations with her even to this day. And she's like, What is the problem? I'm like, Grandma, you said if I want something done, do it.
Right.
So I can't really meet a man, and if he's down, I'm like, well, shit. I was supposed to, if I care about you, I need to be supportive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I could hurt him and stop him from growing because I'm over here trying to pull all the weight by myself. And then if he on his feet, I'm thinking like, oh, he dependent. I'm independent. I'm independent. Let's be together. But he gonna say, fuck me. And be with somebody who might need him more than I do. Or might show it more. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cycle.
It is.
It is a cycle.
It's a grown-up process.
Yeah, I think it's just a growth process.
It definitely
you gotta
is.
Be able to filter
process.
And, you know what I mean, pick and choose when to use
but as an emotional woman, that shit is going to scar me for the rest of my life.
No, it's going to help you grow. You're going to get
Yeah, but it's going to hurt.
It's going every. I mean, and it's no, but listen, no, but listen. Like, if I think I
are emotional.
I live by like you gonna get some. It's gonna be some bumps and bruises and shit like that. But as long as you still, you know what I mean, walking, because there's always somebody out here that got it a lot worse than what you got.
Absolutely.
So you know what I mean. As long as you still can, you know what I mean, sit right here and talk about it.
Oh no, I can definitely talk about it, but yes, I can't get into a relationship with somebody else and not consider that. So I feel like I haven't accepted it, and I'm ready to move. Accepted like, oh well, I was chosen over this person or whatever the case could be. Right. Well, I was too independent because my grandmother told me to be, and I don't know how to turn it off. Well, I was crippling. Like, it's a lot.
Hello,
it's
well, that's relationship. That's relationships in general. That shit just right. Hard. Period.
Like, I lost like three girls. Like, actually,
move on.
All time.
No, but what I'm saying is like that you never gonna have like the perfect answer because person A gonna need something different than person B.
Right.
You gonna have to be the you know what I mean the person that's. You know what I mean? Nurturing and let me help you pick, let me pick you up. But then you're going to have person A that's kind of like you where he don't need you to help him.
Right.
And you got to find the healthy medium to where though, you know what I mean, person A and you getting along. And then when you got person B who need help, it's just hard. It's like you got
to I'm not going to be trying to help because I'm like, hell no, person A ain't trying to help.
Yeah, that's just growth and maturity and finding who really the person true. That you're supposed to be with.
Right, because
I'm
a little stubborn.
Yeah, you gonna tell me
about what?
You
just, being independent?
Yeah.
What, turn it off? Absolutely. I don't know no other way. That's a habit. Whether well, look, it's good look, or bad, at, you don't know how to just turn that shit off and be like, all right,
look at,
I ain't gonna do
what's
nothing.
Her name? For example, because Michelle Obama was in a high position of making more money than what Barack was. So imagine for her had to just shut it down and just, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's not.
I mean, it ain't hard to support either. The president of the United States' wife, so she probably had to get it anyway. But,
yeah.
You know.
But I ain't meeting no. I mean, Barack ain't happen overnight, but I don't think I'm not in Michelle's place to be like, all right, fuck it, I ain't gonna work. Cool. You go ahead and make all the money.
You just gotta get a guy who can appreciate who you are, then y'all understand. You gotta say, like, so if you, like,
you gotta play your role and he gotta play his role.
I know my wife is strong and independent. I'm like, all right, she's strong and independent. I can help some things, I can hurt some things. So you gotta understand how that can help or hurt your relationship and then work on it from there.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're supposed to know each other's weakness and know and know when you need to, you know what I mean, lend a hand and know when, you know what I mean, you don't need to lend a hand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that me, I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm either going to always be there or I'm not at all. So, I'm trying to learn.
Well, you just got to find somebody that's willing to accept that. You know what I'm saying?
Or you got to get that strong benefit to a husband or something like that. Like, can you get girls like
but
your friends?
Absolutely. But it's like, do you just not do anything?
No, you be in the wait and see mode.
Yeah.
You be in the wait and see mode. Like, you got to be like, well, let me.
No, it's not things that we talk about.
But I mean, it is.
All of my
friends. We talk about this all the time. But to me, I feel like this kind of ties back into like the whole family thing. Mm-hmm. You learn, you grow up in the whole household and whatnot. You learn certain things from your family. But when you step outside of the family, you got another whole world out there for you to learn things on your own.
Right.
And that's the difference between us.
Yeah, but then, that's the difference between me and you. Like how grandma told you, be strong, be independent. But then when you come outside, you got your friends around you and I be telling you certain things and you be like, hey, I didn't think about it that way. And you be helping me out.
Well, you were raised in, still raised in a household with, your mother and your father and your brother. And I just think that's like beautiful. Like I would have loved that. So it's like things that Kim had growing up and I'm like, Kim, I don't know about that. Or like, Kim, whatever, girl. Don't be all sensitive or whatever the case. And Kim telling me, like, Sarai, like, it's okay. Let people do. And I'm like, no, so.
But that don't necessarily mean that Kim had it better than you because.
Oh, no.
In some senses.
Like, I make her, I help her.
She strengthens my weaknesses and vice versa.
Right. That's what friends and that's what family's for.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, companionship. You see what I mean? This has been a struggle. This has been like one of them relationships where you like we all homegirls, right? Like, are we in a real relationship? It's tough. So I'm like, what the hell? If I actually get a man and I gotta go through this shit with a dude, I don't know if I can do it. Definitely can't.
Well, definitely
but what I'm saying, like for me, one of my criteria for like females is. I got like I need to know where your head at. You know what I'm saying? No, I need to like you had a mother, father, you got a whole family, and you got your grandma. But if I had somebody that just was like helping scout there all, yeah. Because she ain't really got no value. She ain't got no home training and shit like that. That shit would be...
My question with that is like, is it, are we capable enough to see past that?
Right. You can. Person? You can. But what I'm saying is, I would rather not even.
You can see past it, but can she?
Yeah, but that's
right, because you're gonna be coming at it with angles that
that's where loving somebody matters.
Yo, but you're gonna be coming at it with so many angles that she ain't even used to, and she ain't even gonna really accept it. She wants to change, trying to force somebody to be a whole other person.
That's where the love and the patience comes from. I feel like when you come to somebody with some expectation, you selling them short and yourself short. You're not giving that person who's a human being, flesh and blood, just like you, any kind of chance. So you're looking at it like, oh, well, she do that, I can't fuck with her.
No, I mean, let me take that back. I say a criteria, but I look at how people handle certain situations.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I'm saying?
If you're doing this...
And like if you are improving
right.
as the situations come along.
If I go to the club on Thursday, and then the next Thursday, and then the next Thursday, and I see the same person, same... people, and I can't fuck with a girl that's always outside though. I can't.
But you feel like that's something that makes that person who they are. That can just be one.
I feel like they ain't got nothing going, or they ain't trying to find something to.
But that could just be right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, that's the thing with relationships. So you could be if you fuck with somebody, the whole purpose is to be trying to pursue like marriage, right? Mm-hmm. You ain't other than that, you wasting your time.
Or just become one.
Yeah, I'm saying the end result of everything when you're dealing with a female or a male or whoever you deal with is to get married. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And if you fucking with somebody just to be fucking with them is a waste of your time and their time too.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's how I approach my shit. You know what I'm saying?
And that's
you
really good that you approach it that way. But a lot of men out here don't really necessarily dig it.
Yeah, but because they scared to take that step. You gotta understand. Also, that position, that opinion, or that stance that you're taking, it was grounded in how you were brought up.
Yeah, it's probably based on
you know what I'm saying.
You know,
just think of a nigga whose mother is a baby mother. Or baby mother number three.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. I was speaking for me.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So who grew up with none of that shit? Like, his father come get him on the weekends or don't get him at all. So he don't know nothing about the end result that you looking forward to. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you're speaking for yourself, which I understand, but it's so many variables that a lot of times people as humans, we kind of get caught up in the things that we want or the shit that we value the most. When all actuality, why don't you just take the time to value, like get the best out of that person or value what's best about that person before you actually instill these preconceived expectations that you have for them, which they don't even fucking know. You know what I'm saying? Which will hinder the growth in your relationship with that person because they may
that's,
not
that's
always
what
go to the
all about. You date a motherfucker first. You start to learn everything.
Yeah, but you. But for example, you have a list of shit that you won't even fucking do. Poor girl. Yeah, like prior to prior to you getting married, you James be like, oh no, I ain't fucking with this. I'm not fucking with the world. Do this.
That shit change, right?
I'm saying you're supposed to know the type of shit you're willing to put up with and the shit you're not.
And it'll be
that much easier.
If you meet a person who is beyond all, like not beyond, but who you just did, and you don't even fucking
get to know.
Like I ain't saying you get to know him, but that shit don't even matter because you dig them that much that. All right, the fact that
what makes you dig them though, because
just the person that they are,
right? Their personality, getting
what the fucked up person that they are.
Yo, so let me ask you a question.
They can be fucked up on Monday, and they can be great on Thursday.
I'm just saying, I know where I am
nobody
perfect, but I understand where Mark is coming from, and in this phase of life, I can't be dealing with nobody. A whole bunch of bullshit.
To me, that's what the day
is. See, that's because you're still young. So your expectations are high.
My expectations aren't high.
No, not high. But you
have
to
take nobody from the gutter. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I know somebody can uplift him, but I'm not capable of dealing with my shit plus trying to uplift somebody else.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at in life. You could be the best nigga at heart, but you're just not for me. I'm sorry.
What's not for you?
She just saying.
Just somebody in the gutter. Like, I mean.
Gutter like what?
Right, I mean, he just got so much going on. He in the club. He's getting high all the time. He's
that's
got
not somebody who you want to preach with, right?
But he could be a great person. Mm-hmm. He could just be going through something right now. And I can't really help you right now. Because
right,
I'm not
that's
in that space.
Your growth. You going backwards.
Yeah, I don't feel like it. I'm sorry.
I mean, that shit. That whole relationship shit is a whole nother. That's a whole nother topic. Whole nother book.
Yeah, that is a whole nother book.
Hey, no joke.
Because at the end of the day, you know what I mean. I'm not perfect. The person that I'm dealing with not perfect, but you know what I'm saying. It's not like real crazy to the point where as though it's something. Oh no, I can't.
It's draining. Y'all know y'all have all been in some type of draining situation. And if that shit is draining you to the point, like, where you can't function, you need to pull away. I don't care how nice of a person they are. Just let them go. Period. I'm sorry. So, I don't know, man. But I don't have high expectations.
Well, not high, like, but you gotta, is it, you gotta, you steadfast on them. Like,
well, I'm just saying.
You're unwavering in them right now.
If you don't have anything to bring to the table, don't sit your ass at the table. I'm sorry. I don't have it all.
That's true.
But don't sit there if you can't bring nothing.
That's true.
What you mean?
Bring to the table. Say if first date, what I need to bring to the table?
First date?
Yeah, first date. Great personality.
I mean, I need to be able to have a conversation with you. If we can't even converse back and forth, you ain't for me. If we texting and you keep sending me all these crazy ass, like, words spelled incorrectly, I'm sorry. That's a flag for me.
Stuff like that.
Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
I'm sorry.
Some niggas can't read.
And that's fine.
No, man. Some niggas
but be with somebody that is okay with that.
That can interpret that shit.
I'm the same way. Like, my dear girl, I'm going to hope that when she's smart, of course, you got to look that way decent. And from that, it don't matter. I don't care if you broke.
You don't care if you broke?
When you did.
Yeah.
No, because you can. To me.
No,
if you just a straight out two-time loser, like, you just.
No, so basically what you're saying is that when I hear you say broke, it's basically like, oh, she could just, you know what I mean, leech off or whatever
right,
the fuck.
No, I'm not saying leech. No, what I'm saying is, like, everybody that can be where you at. No, I'm not going to respect. Like if all right, so if I had a girl who was up here with me, that's fine too. I'm not intimidated by that. Now, if I had a girl who wasn't right there, that's fine too. You know, when you fuck with me, I'm gonna help you get to where you need to be at. If we want household, we gonna grow together. So because you here and I'm here, I'd be like, oh no.
No, but basically what you were saying is that from what I got is that she coming in not having shit.
Who?
My thing is if that's your wife and you choose to say, hey, I'm going to let you, you can not work and we can live off this.
But you got to be smart and have an education, bro.
Right, because that was like you leaning towards save a whole tactic.
Yeah, you was like, she ain't got to have nothing. I'm going to get you with, from day one.
No.
Like, she ain't got to work.
I'm going to come in that mindset like that, like, she got to have this or she got to have that. Sure. I'm gonna get to know the person, right?
I'm gonna need to know that you get up to go to work from 9 to 5 or something like that.
Of course, you want somebody with a little bit of ambition who want to do what they gotta do, but like, I'm not gonna not date a girl.
Because she isn't really.
For me, see, it's different for me. Me, I want a girl. It gotta be, she gotta be smart and the rest of it, you gotta be attractive.
She has to have a certain standard. Like, she has some type of standard.
Yeah, it's being recorded. I'm just saying, you don't want no dumb girl or dumb, whatever
you
want
to
do.
With some standards, like a little bit, like something.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like.
I was just asking. You might want to.
No. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Might want a leech.
Right, you might want somebody that you know what I mean, you taking care of.
But it's always suck with somebody. You can think you got what you want.
Can.
And you be like, what the fuck?
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
It, bro.
No, I'm just crazy. Saying. No, no matter what
you
want.
You can't
have
everything, yeah.
Nobody can have everything they want.
Not at all.
No.
I mean.
Because there's no perfect person, though.
It's
right?
not.
Nah. Everybody got some shit with them.
Everybody has their struggle. Everybody has their flaws.
His whole. Don't text me in all caps.
Everybody going through something. Who just said that?
Man, was somebody,
Drake.
Somebody said, I was talking to somebody Kendrick recently, they said perception is everything.
Perception is reality. Okay.
No, I said perception is everything. Everything. I feel like that's a stupid statement.
The truth is everything.
No.
No, it's not.
She was just talking about white people and saying she was at Burger King. McDonald's, and that was wrong. So yes, it is.
But I'm saying, like, that's exactly that.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's how I feel like
whatever you perceive it to be in your mind,
that's what it is.
That's what you lie to yourself.
No.
Because my thing when I hear that statement, it was like, oh, so the closer I get to you, I can see the bullshit that you go through. Because like if somebody just like for example, when we were at one of our friends' house, he was like. Recently, he was like, man, shit ain't really good over here.
Our perception was like, shit, right? Like, this is great.
Yeah, but
that
you know
was
going to
be Mary Jane last night.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because you don't know what happened before we got there.
Exactly. So sure that's what I'm saying. Like, perception, like, why the fuck would you want us to think that everything cool when it ain't?
Cool. I mean, what I'm saying in general, like, if I go outside and I see two people on the street, I'm starting to draw a perception
of what?
The time.
11 o'clock at night, 11:30, depending on what they're wearing, I might start drawing my perceptions, and that's my reality of the situation.
But you don't live in this neighborhood. So it's you.
But my perception, my reality, all my experiences, all my stuff I see, I know, like I could come to, that's my perception of whatever it is. Like I perceive you to be a nice person. You might not be a nice person, but I think you're a nice person. That's my perception of you. If I explain to white
people, nice. I feel like perception is like a quick way out.
No, that's the truth. I think that whatever your eyes see and whatever you know what I mean, whatever you see is what you gonna believe. So if I go somewhere and I see somebody that I know and they doing some shit that they ain't supposed to be doing, my perception is that I don't need to be around.
So that's why it's police brutality and people get shot though. That's why I feel like the perception reality is bullshit. Because if I put you got that it's hat, you got that listen to me, you got that scully on
but
this
I'm not
special.
A fucking police officer.
Police gotta be factual. They can't go off. So he's got that scully on that sweatshirt. If Marcus go outside, pull the scully down a little bit closer to his eyes, right? He's gonna be perceived as what?
You gonna think something up with him?
The police gonna say black male Scully.
No, I'm saying you if you don't know him,
right. If I see him on stream, I'm like, oh, let me lock my car doors.
Right.
Let me
but
go
him
about
sitting
5 miles
here,
a little bit fast to get past this motherfucker.
But the point I'm saying is him sitting here. We're close enough to him to understand that that's not the person that he is.
Yeah.
So the reason I was saying that perception is like the perception like fucking the statement what the fuck was it perception is everything is bullshit because it's like you're not gonna take the time to get close enough to the reality of it to really get an understanding.
It's a real deal, but it's still
because those dudes that you might see standing on the corner, they could be going home from work.
Y'all saying the same thing though, because you proving a point that it should not be that way. But he's saying that it is. It's true.
I think that's just how it is, though.
But right, Jordan's point is it should not be that way.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
That's just how it.
Well, you need. Well, in order to fucking survive, you need to have perception, though.
Because you're saying like your judgment.
Yeah, like you got had.
My thing is that sometimes you gotta take the time to get closer to that perception. Like get closer.
You do
to
if you choose to do that.
Yeah,
but police, how long?
Police and a whole number different. That's a whole number. That I'm not the police. What
it's
I'm
still
doing,
people though.
Huh?
It's still people.
Yeah, but what I'm doing is I'm making judgments and choices based on, you know, what I want to do. The police, everybody gotta live for whatever they do. So the police shoot somebody because of perception that they have with them. Yeah, that's something that's something that they got. What I'm saying is
right, that's something they gotta live with.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying is when I walk outside and I see something, and then if I don't feel that it's right. I'm saying that I'm exiting or doing whatever I gotta do.
Now that's your intuition.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now we talking about relationship, meeting people and getting to know people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
About what you
and
what
I mean amongst other
but
things.
You drew
so if I come in the club and I see you and you dancing all crazy and you dress up to your neck.
I'ma think you a little up there. Yeah. I am.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's my perception. I'm gonna be like, oh no, I'm not fucking with her. I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Because of what I seen in the club last night.
Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is when you say if you see a girl in the club like three Thursdays and you'd be like, why she out? If she see you, what was she? What is she supposed to
think the same thing as
well, I'm not gonna be there. No. But what I'm saying what I'm saying is what I'm saying is that It's different. So the world is a big ass double standard. With
okay, I just wanted to hear a man say that.
What dudes do and what female, I guess, I don't agree with the double standard, but the world is a double standard. Right. What dudes do and what females should and shouldn't do are two totally things on two different sides of the street. Like, if I go to the club, I might just be hanging with my homies. If girls go to the club, dudes gonna look at it like, damn, she a freak, she a hoe, or whatever they gonna say. You know what I'm saying? If a dude break up with his girl, you know what I'm saying, and just chilling, it's gonna be harder for a dude to get another girl. If a girl say, hey, I'm not fucking with you, she can get all kinds of new dudes quick.
She's probably not gonna really want you anyway unless you got somebody.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna get a couple chicks, but you're not gonna be as desirable.
But what I'm saying is, if you call a dude and be like, you know, come on over, come chill with me.
He coming.
If a dude call a girl, depending on the dude, and say, come on over, come chill.
Depending on how she feels.
It's a 50-50, 60-40, 40-60 chance. But with a girl, ain't no nigga turning no girl down unless
she got something. He got something set up.
Yeah.
He got something.
Or another option. You get what I'm saying? Like. So that's where the double standard come in. It's a fucked up double standard, but...
It is what it is.
That's just what it is.
Man, I just like Patrice all shit like that.
R.I.P.
Patrice is square. That shit up quick.
But that question came from us talking.
Right, so the initial question was...
Uh-huh. Strong women.
Do you believe the notion behind every great man is a strong woman?
At some point. There may be some influence from his grandmother, mother,
yeah.
teacher, or role model. So it, at some point, but
we ain't shit without it. That's
I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's the shit that we all grew up on and everybody. Right. I want my girl stand beside me though.
Right.
That's how I feel.
I want her to be right beside me. I don't want her to be behind me. Right. You know, I want her to be strong beside me.
That's what I say to Sarai, like, you know, my mother used to have beside me. She ain't even fucking behind me.
Yeah. My girl not gonna stand behind me, though. She gonna want to stand. She gonna be, why you hiding me, nigga? Right. I'm gonna stand right here.
She in the front, back, and on both sides. You wanna be clear.
First of all, in the context, like, when it comes to black women, ain't no black woman standing behind nobody.
Especially in 2015. Ain't no girl standing behind nobody. Like, y'all, like you said, you independent. Ain't no way that I can get you to stand behind me. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like without being physical, is
so you don't trust me.
No, the trust ain't there. Trust ain't built.
It depends.
It depends. Y'all got.
But I can stand behind. You can stand behind with a stipulation. Absolutely.
My girl said the same thing. She can stand behind if she don't have to work.
Yes.
I'm paying for everything.
Okay.
But no, he might. The guy might do what he gotta do too. Okay. I ain't gonna knock that.
What he gotta do. Both of us gonna be struggling up in here.
But if I'm down, don't be.
He's gonna wrap this up.
If I'm down, don't be beating me up about it. I don't think that the woman should beat him up about it. But don't.
She just said if she gonna get frustrated, nigga.
But I'm not Kim. But I'm just saying, like, it should be 50-50. Absolutely. Like, the man should understand that it's a lot of pressure on the woman not saying nothing or not helping him, knowing that he's down. Like, period. That's just my take on it. Like, I understand you trying to be a man, you hit a house, but it's still hard on me.
Mm-hmm. At least she recognizes it as you're trying to. And that's what the thing is. Like, you gotta recognize it in order to let the man know, hey, this is what I see you doing it, but let me help you.
Really good. Y'all a team, and one person can't be pulling all the weight.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I can understand for a short period of time, long term.
Long term.
Man, what the hell going on?
Alright, so this is the end. I'm exhausted. I ain't
Pete. You asked the question.
I didn't think it was gonna.
You asked the question. Sway, we gave you the answers.
You ain't got the answers.
You ain't got the answers.
She definitely was Kanye.
Seriously, Gemini's over there.
Bud with Kanye on this.
Hey, you ain't coming up with the good questions, man.
We ain't come to no conclusion, but I mean,
I don't feel like.
I feel like these conversations are not meant to be discussed.
This is submissive.
No, you can say your opinion.
Giving up like dominance.
Right, so we're just going to do closing remarks. We'll start with Joy. Go ahead, Joy.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Closing remarks.
It's been a pleasure each time. So I mean, it's more than proud that, you know, I know some people might look at it ain't a lot. What y'all doing? Y'all recording conversations, podcasts, but impressed, thankful, proud. Cheers to the next one. So hopefully y'all see us in fucking cons when y'all listen to this shit, nigga.
No shirt on.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even be talking about no motherfucking submissive. That shit ain't even gonna matter.
Hey, Kim.
I'm just glad to be a part of it. I enjoyed it. And hopefully I can see this going a little bit further than a podcast.
Thank you, thank you. James?
Same thing everybody else said. I'm just glad to be a part of it. I'm proud of you even put it together. I know it took a lot of work to get the characters and the skits and the writing to organize everybody to get together. But this is an amazing piece of work that you did. And I think it's going to go far, too. So don't stop. Do whatever you got to do. Put it out there to the masses. We're going to evangelize it. Put it out there on social media. Just get a lot, as much attention as we can get.
But, sure, you're doing a good
job.
To the cons.
Yeah, it's cons. you know, thank for everybody else. You know, coming here, you know, come to all the different talkings and screenings, whatever you call it. And just being there to support PGMS Project. That's real tight. So, I enjoyed the conversations too.
Yeah.
Because those things are healthy and not therapeutic, you know, sometimes too. You thinking. It's good that everybody's aware of what's going on around, right? That's the most important part. That's how you can start. Like, for me, with some of these problems and all the stuff that's going on, just being aware helps you look at things a little bit differently.
So I think it's definitely right.
It steadies you.
Right. And not even if you can't even bring solutions, because half of it, to me, honestly, I don't think it's hard to come to solutions on this stuff, the way that stuff is set up. So just y'all being aware of it, and just from this project, I really enjoyed that. And you can go far with it.
For sure, for sure. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I, like everybody said, I'm just happy to be here, happy to be around or surrounded by, you know, positive people. And I want to say congratulations to you for completing, you know, one of the things that you had on your checklist, so you can put that check in that box.
For sure.
You dig?
So, Ryan.
I think we should all hashtag give Bug a hug.
Everybody here need a hug.
Hashtag give Bug a hug.
Look, I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I mean, that's the type of stuff. That's what I.
Most conversations get heated, though, man.
It does.
They do. I mean, if it don't,
healthy debate. Relationships is a tough thing to talk about, but I know everybody not religious, but I am. I don't know. You got to sit your faith and pray up, man. Read.
That's my nigga, man. That's my nigga, man.